Hi, this is Josie Cotton, and you're listening to Rock at Night. Is this Charisse?
Yes, this is Charisse. Is this Josie?
It sure is. How are you?
I'm so happy to speak with you, honestly. I wanted to talk about a few different things.
Sure.
So I'll give you a heads up. About the release of Everything Is Oh Yeah. I've listened to every song.
Okay.
And I'd like to talk, too, about... I'm so interested in your look, your style.
Oh, thank you.
Fashion and all that. You've got the new single out, Ukrainian Cowboy.
Right.
First of all, Ukrainian Cowboy, was that just recently written, or is that from the archives from years ago?
Oh, no. I wrote that this year. Yeah.
Now, when you wrote that this year, was that with in mind that Everything Oh Yeah was going to be released?
Well, everything seems to be happening simultaneously right now, so I really couldn't control this series of events they were en route, and I didn't want to stop anything midstream. There was another single that came out in Spain, and there was this single, and I was so excited about the new single, the Ukrainian Cowboy and Cold War Spy, and that was important to me. It really meant a lot to me to get that out there, something new before I dredged up, you know, like the past so, you know, heavily from another time, really. So I was trying to beat the release of that record, Everything Is Oh Yeah, for sure.
Are you going to have any videos for Everything Is Oh Yeah come out?
Well, there is a little video. It was a little lyric video we made a while back for the title song, and then we are going to do a real video. Because this is kind of like toy stick figures, like really funny Japanese. But I love everything. Everything Japanese is all right with me, you know. But so we're going to do, it's been tricky to figure out how to do a video for this record, though, because it was recorded 30 years ago, and we can't really do a performance of it because those are none of the original players. And so we were trying to come up with some clever way to make it make sense, which is, I still don't know what that's going to be, but we're going to do something.
That was one of my questions. You're having a release party on October 5th, and it said in one of the press releases that you're going to be performing a few of the songs.
Yeah.
Do you even remember them? I mean...
Well, you know, when we remixed, when Paul and I found... he's my partner in the recording studio we have had forever. And when we found these 2-inch 24 tracks, which were unmarked and we didn't really know what they were, and when I realized that it was this record, I really thought was lost, and we had to remix everything, and became very intimately involved in every single nuance of my vocals and all the instruments. So I relearned the songs as we were mixing them, and so that's how I'm able to attempt to do this.
The whole thing is so intriguing to me that 30 years later an album is being released. It's almost like a time capsule.
It is. It is so much like that. I almost called it Lost in Space because it really, really was a thing I thought was, just gone. It was one of the natural disasters in California or, some odd thing, that could have happened to them in various studios and storage places and garages. So it was kind of amazing to realize that it was intact and the tapes were in perfect condition. That was what was so crazy. We baked them for 2 days. You have to, at a very low temperature, you bake the tapes or else they turn into mush when you're playing them. And we had to go to a certain place that still had the 2-inch reels and bake them and then transfer them and then we had them, and it's like you couldn't tell that they were that old. It was quite amazing. There was no degradation of the sound, which was strange. And it was I described it in this one interview. It was like you have a cat, your favorite cat is gone for years and years, and it comes back, and you don't know why or how, but you're so happy and amazed.
It's like reanimated.
It's like reanimation. I love those movies, too. But totally.
Yeah, I guess zombies are big nowadays.
They've always been big with me. I've never met a zombie I didn't like.
Well, you were in that movie Nomads, right?
So. Oh yeah, I was dead. I think that's what the director told me. We were dead Eskimos, but I never knew what that meant. Something odd.
Speaking of Nomads, are you friends with Adam Ant? Because he was in it, or do you even keep in touch with him?
No, I mean. I guess it's true about movie sets that once the movie's over, all your relationships are finished. It's like cliche I've always heard, and it happened with that movie too. And I actually ran into Mary Warnoff, and she acted like she had never seen me in her life, and I don't know if that's her personality or if she really forgot or so. And then John McTiernan, I mean, God, he became gigantic director. All the movies with Bruce Willis,
Brosnan.
And Pierce Brosnan. Oh yeah.
It's just kind of funny. That's kind of a cult film. But not to deviate too much back to Everything Is Oh Yeah. I listened to the whole thing, and I guess I love it because it's so 60s. Some of the songs are 60s, some are rockabilly. Your rendition of The Night Before with Brian Setzer is so much fun. I wish you'd release that as a single.
That when I heard that song, when we were listening back to everything, there were rough mixes. When I heard that, I knew this was going to be a record I could be proud of, because I thought that sounded pretty great myself. I mean, it's audacious to do a Beatles cover. I don't even remember whose idea it was, but to do it rockabilly and then have Brian sing on it. And he did such an amazing job. I mean, this guy went out there and in one take, he did 4-part harmonies in the craziest chords you've ever heard, and he knew what they were. I don't even know, how he was doing what he was doing, but my jaw was dropped down to the ground, when he was singing. It was something.
A couple other songs are really Motown-ish. Fine As You Are has a really... And Here Comes My Baby, very, almost like Ronnie Spector, kind of Motown feel. A lot of fun.
Well, on that song, we were really mixing up genres, and there's also mariachi horns on there. I always loved that song, and Cat Stevens' song, and so it was just one of the things we had thrown together. And honestly, there were a couple of different producers involved in this record, so there it went for a whole year. I was at different studios and with a couple of different producers and whatnot, and so I was just putting different styles of music together that probably had no business knowing each other, but I just always loved a variety of styles, and so I just indulged myself on this one completely.
There is a nice variety. Even the song Money, I could see myself jitterbugging to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pure rockabilly, that one. Mm-hmm.
And Hand Over Your Heart, to me, sounds like something they play at a 50s dance.
Yeah, it definitely has that element to that, yeah.
Now, listening to all this and then looking at the style, the way you look, makes me think of Wanda Jackson, and even the song Love's Love, you almost sound like Dolly Parton, kind of.
Well, you know, I'm from Texas.
And that's
and,
what I thought, yeah. Go ahead.
But, I mean, I rejected all things country and western when I was in Dallas because my mom was such a gigantic Tammy Wynette fan. She was in her fan club, and it never stopped playing in my house when I was growing up. So I went all British Invasion and went a totally different direction, and it wasn't until I came to L.A. and my producers, they said, you have to listen to Tammy Wynette and Wanda Jackson, and I went, oh, come on, and they were going, yeah, those women, you can learn a thing or two from those singers and those songwriters, and I did, and I totally fell in love with that style of singing. It came pretty natural, I got to say. Mm-hmm. My accent came back fast.
You have no accent now. You've been in LA.
I know. I remember deciding really young that I didn't want an accent. My mom sounded like Dolly Parton, and my grandmother sounded like Betty Davis, and I went, I'm going with Betty Davis. Really young. I didn't want, Kathleen, y'all come on around like that. And I was like, no. So at least I had a choice.
So when did you leave Dallas to go to L.A.?
Well, I left there in, pretty much the, right at 1980-ish, mm-hmm. It was right around the time I came, right before I met my producers and the Payne Brothers, and I really came out to be a songwriter. I really wasn't trying to be a singer at all.
Well, your whole look and your whole style has always been retro. Who are you? Is there anybody you're trying to emulate, or someone, movie star, whatever?
Gosh, there's different iconic figures that I go to, I guess. I always thought Gina Lola Brigida was, she was a really hot tamale. Mm-hmm, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I thought she was fabulous, and the Ronettes. I thought they were just incredible, visual, and I just thought I always thought Nancy Sinatra was just a fashion icon, of her day, and I guess that those, maybe some Russ Meyer, Tura Sitana kind of thrown in.
It's funny you mentioned Gina Lollobrigida, because I was looking at some of your old pictures and videos, and she came to mind when...
Oh!
Yeah, I definitely see you channeling her. I even think Liz Taylor.
Well, my mom always said that, but she's my mom, so you can't look, really.
You look a lot like her, and even Suzanne Pleshette came to mind.
Oh, you know who I've heard more than anybody, though? It's so funny, is you remember Bewitched, the main gal? She had an
a
evil
sister.
Twin.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And she like played guitar, and she
Serena.
Had dark short hair.
Wasn't her name Serena? I remember.
Those are people have sent me videos, and I look just like her. It's so funny.
That's funny because you kind of do.
Yeah, of course, I would be that character.
And that's why I love your look and everything. Just out of curiosity, whenever I see people look retro, are you like that in what we call real life? I mean, is your home decorated like that? And do you look...
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Let's talk about that.
Sure, yeah. I've been collecting mid-century furniture, you know, as long as I... you know, have been conscious of, you know, interior design and whatnot, and I just, I love, you know, all of that, 60s, 70s, and then also I collect a whole lot of Asian stuff, not necessarily art, but, you know, just kitschy, odd mm-hmm. Japanese things, and you know, Bruce Lee memorabilia, mm-hmm. and Mao Zedong. I have, you know, his actual tea set that he made. But,
holy cow!
Yeah, really crazy. And I'm just obsessed with all things Asian. It doesn't matter what part of Asia. I love it. And you know, there's a little bit of my mom's influence, which was very French bordello, kind of. So I have a little bit.
Velvet.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. But you know, but what's funny about modern design and modern furniture to me is so much of it is stolen from the 60s. It's mm-hmm. it's like something that's called modern now. It was called modern in the 60s. So they were futuristic, you know. Designers, they were designing into the future and didn't know it. Now, people just don't even realize where all this fantastic Italian furniture comes from. Well, they stole it from the mm-hmm. 60s.
That's a good point. And the 50s, the whole kind of astro spacey look, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The wallpaper, the way it was. And
yeah, Sputnik and all that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm into the mid-century furniture myself. That's...
Yeah. No, I love that. But I don't say anything too current, unless it's like Japanese. I don't say anything I totally love, you know, that's modern. I just don't see it. Mm-hmm. If it's out there, I would like it, but mm-hmm. I can't seem to find anything, you know, that's as cool as... what has gone before, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? It's just,
yeah.
I don't know. That's just kind of how I view the world.
If you were to, let's say, go out to the grocery store, do you dress campy and like, or do you like look like a regular person? This was just out of curiosity.
Well, I'd say I have a little bit of fashion damage. My friends, they tease me because, you know, they say I'm like Clark Kent because I do wear kind of, you know, like a lot of jumpsuits and like, mm-hmm. and caps and big glasses and, you know, kind of masculine, like mm-hmm. combat boots. I mean, I love that look too. I love to go out like that, but then you know, I go out other times at night, and I'm, you know, it's all like, you know, 60s go-go girl, you know, I don't know, meets, you know, a French chanteuse, I don't know, I'm just kind of all over the place.
I just find it fascinating, because I mean, I love your look, the whole kitschy thing, and
Thank you.
Mod, and your videos and stuff, and that's why I don't know if other people talk about it in interviews, but I just really like your look. So
did you see the new Hong Kong video?
Which I saw
It was called.
the Ukrainian cowboy one.
Oh yeah. The one that's the same director did one. A song I did called "See the New Hong Kong," and it's all Asian. It's all crazy Asian.
Oh, I need to see that because
yeah, it's a good one.
I was kind of looking through the collection there. Now that you have this, it's funny when we say new album, it's like a new old album coming out.
Yeah, I don't know how to react when I hear that too. Like new album, like, ugh.
Yeah, it's just like pulling it out of the archives. But man, I really love it. Any plans to tour or do anything like that?
To do what?
To tour.
Oh, yeah. We have a bunch of shows coming up. Actually, and I started doing, I managed to not do them all this time, but I just started this summer doing some of these 80s shows. I was going to do the like Totally Festival. It was at the beach, but it got canceled, but Johnny Lydon was going to be on it.
Oh,
I was
love
so excited.
Him.
I know. It was his like first tour, and I had met him, you know, recently at this punk documentary, and he was so cool. He was just just insanely smart and charming, and a you know, just really almost abusive in a really funny way. I loved it. Very British, but so anyway. But I've started doing. I've done a few of these shows now, and I mean. I you know, they only really let you do a few songs and of your hits, and so it's a little, for me it's frustrating because we're getting ready to release all my records that nobody really heard that I've been making. You know, in between the time of Everything's Oh Yeah, I made like five records, and they were not really done in the proper way of a record label, because I put them out myself. So I'm going to be needing to do a lot of shows locally, and they're saying we were supposed to do the Greek next summer, and they're saying, well, you can't perform for 5 months before the Greek, and that's right, and that's 2020, and that's right when I'm releasing all of my records, including I'm getting the rights back to my first two records from, because it was that 30-year, if you call it in time, you get your masters back.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, so I'm getting, those are the only masters that I don't own. I've always had a recording studio, and I've made my own records, and I did whatever I wanted, which was great. I was able to really explore a lot of different, you know, sides of music that I wouldn't have gotten to had I stayed in the system. So I'm just, I'm torn between going before thousands of people who love you so much that they're like 5,000 puppies who just love you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really sweet, and it's touching, and it means so much to them in their lives, and it's connected to their lives, and so they bring all of themselves, and it's really hard to say no to that, but in terms of, you know, being able to be an artist, what I think of, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing, it's hard to not do this. Like, yeah, I won't be able to use Ukrainian Cowboy or Cold War Spy, which is the B-side, which is doing really well right now, but which is like, that makes me sad, you know, because they remember you in one way. You're branded in a certain way, and you can't ever change. So that's just the irony of it all.
Yeah, I guess back in the 80s, you were forced to be corporate, basically, and then after that, you were able to do artistically what you wanted to do. You had the freedom.
Yeah, and this record, they actually never heard. It was going to be my third record on Elektra, and then they freed me from the roster, I like to say. But that's actually the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole career, was being dropped by Elektra. because I just went on, I went off road completely, and it's been a real adventure musically for me, and I've loved it. You know, I think if I had to keep doing 80s music all this time, they would have had to commit me with a straitjacket, you know, some horrible place. I couldn't do it. I can't. Not anymore. But when we were almost going to do this show, this 80s show, the first one with Johnny Lydon and the Bangles and the mm-hmm. Romantics, all these really fun bands, you know, and I kind of fell back in love with the 80s songs that I had walked away from. I totally mm-hmm. didn't do it. I didn't even do He Could Be the One or Johnny, Are You Queer? I didn't do mm-hmm. those in my sets. And now I'm kind of loving singing those songs again. But, you know, we'll see how it all gels together. It'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. See if I can like balance this these two different worlds.
It's almost like you've reinvented yourself, or at least people are finding you again because of this.
Yeah,
and it's really neat.
It's really fun. It's the first mm-hmm. time. I think it's the first time in my whole career I've ever felt like I had the wind at my back. Mm-hmm. You know, that I had that. That the world was cheering me on, and I wasn't having to fight, you know, through the jungle with mm-hmm. a machete, like, mm-hmm. you know, for a, you know, a, just one breath of air. It's been such a fight, having done Johnny, Are You Queer? It made a lot of people pretty upset, you know, like, it was not a always an easy cross to bear, now it seems like it's my time. It just feels like I'm supposed to be right here right now, and people seem really happy I'm back.
Well, the universe is on your side now. All the stars are together, and I'm happy for you. So I grew up, you know, 70s, 80s myself, and
yeah.
I'm a feminist, and I always try to support women out there that are making music because it's hard.
Yeah, I think it's better now, but yeah, that's always been my issue, the feminism and the animals. I mean, those are my two things that I would die on those hills. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah, so those are the things. You know, people come to me sometimes and they're saying, don't you want to donate to this natural disaster, blah, blah, blah. People are like home. I said, I'm sorry, the animals come before. Some people are born to want to help certain groups. And for me, it's always like I'm just trying to do, you know, something for the animals and for women, and that's where my heart is.
You're listening to Rock at Night.